Give me a check, 1, 2, real quick.
Check 1, 2, 3, 4. This is how we're gonna be talking some more. And this shit is frosty.
All right. Oh yeah, don't bring up that we smoked a fucking
right.
Not yet. We will. Rolling, got me talking. Pre-production.
I'm here.
Let's give the people what they want.
What they deserve.
What's up, man? Episode 9. That's fucking crazy. 9 months makes a baby.
Oh, that's a good one.
9 lives kills a cat. Bro, 9 is not good. 9's good, but like, I don't want cats dying. I don't fuck with cats, but I don't want cats dying. And I also don't want a pregnancy in my life.
Well, 9 is it's also an unlucky number because it's the upside down 6. There's actually a movie with Johnny Depp called The Ninth Gate. And I think it has some satanic background to it.
Is that a Stephen King book?
That I don't know.
But I do know. Is that the one movie where he's writing the book and all the shit's happening? And like,
yeah.
Or is that Secret Garden?
I don't remember.
That's Secret Garden.
Either way, it's one with Johnny Depp and it's called The Ninth Gate. And I remember it being like somewhat satanic related.
Yeah, well, 666 is 999.
I was born on the 9th.
I was born on the 10th. On the 8th month. Oh, dude, I'm like avoiding the 9.
Yeah.
8, 10.
Yeah.
Dude, 9 might be out to get me, if you know what I'm saying. I left them out. They might be trying to get me. You ever remember the joke? Why is 6 afraid of 8 or some shit? Or why is 5 afraid of... No. Why is 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9.
I've heard that, and dude, I just couldn't
classic.
Think of it right now.
That's a classic.
That is a classic one. That's a
because
classic
7,
one.
7, 8, 9. That's as classic as 8008 on the couch. You know what I'm saying?
Poops.
Yeah.
Of course I know what you're saying. Yeah. I love that. I miss
and it's
those
crazy
days.
Because when I was in elementary school, those were the calculators I was fucking with. And then by the time I was in high school, I had like the fucking ones where you could type out a book on them.
We were
playing like Mario
Texas
on our
Instruments.
Shit. Yep.
That shit.
Like the big
those
blue
things
ones.
Scared me. I never owned one of those.
We had to own one at boarding school.
I was so bad at math.
Same. And I still am, but now
I'm good
at
gambling numbers.
Yeah.
I'm not good with like all the algebra shit. When are you gonna use that?
Good at making money, but other than that.
I'm not great at geometry either. I had to take that a couple times. I remember going to summer school for that shit because I like got a D.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember in Australia, it's just called maths, like with an S.
Quick maths.
Yeah.
M-A-F-S.
M-A-F-S?
Remember that one guy that came out? Quick maths. Wow, what song did he have? He was like not a joke rapper, but it was like last year or the year before last, and... He did all those engine sounds that it sounded like, but really he was rapping. He was
like skreet bump bump.
Yeah, remember that guy?
Your man.
Gosh,
your
what
man's
was his name?
Not hot.
Something
that
like that.
That was the song, I think.
Yeah.
Shout out that guy.
Yeah, and then he in his thing, he was like, quick maths.
Yeah.
1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. Remember, that was like his thing, quick maths. But it was M-A-F-S in the...
Yeah. Well, it's M-A-T-H-S.
I don't know how we got here. Talking about math.
Talking about elementary school.
Episode 9.
Episode 9. Rock with it.
Last week we were talking about, right before we signed off, we were getting excited to go hang out with Andy Reese for the day. And we ended up doing that. And that was awesome. Video will be out hopefully this week. Hanging out with Andy for a full day was enlightening, inspiring.
Stressful.
Awesome. It's just like you just, and you know, it's nothing like, you know, nothing dramatic happened. That like, you know,
I mean,
something dramatic happened with a big purchase and all that. But like, it's so funny to look back at it. It was such a mellow day at the same time, as stressful as it seems. Like, I guess reviewing the footage made me realize like this is his life. He just has to work out, sign some autographs, smile and live the dream.
He's got to work his ass off.
Right. But I'm just saying like.
You forget that those people
he gets to do what
normal.
He loves, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I bet you anything, as much as it might stress him out now, he'll look back at it and be like, that was the best time of my life.
Oh, by far, dude. Being the champ, being on top. He's on top right now, as he deserves it. And, well, like, he'll remain on top, you know, as long as he stays, you know, fighting and staying healthy and keep winning. You know, this life, his lifestyle is going to continue. I mean, he bought a new Rolls Royce truck. And,
It was somewhere estimated a little north of $500,000.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly the number. But because there's so many add-ons and customizations and things still to happen to the car and that he wants done. And, I mean, that's how a champ lives.
Yeah. You got to spend the money. You know, people make money and never spend it. But all businessmen will say you're supposed to spend the money you make.
You wonder if he'll have, like, how George Foreman had, like, the George Foreman grill.
Yeah.
Would Andy have something cool like that?
I don't know.
I could see that.
I feel like George Foreman is the only boxer with a grill.
Yeah, I know.
Boxers don't really have their
own. You don't need to have a grill, per se. But what if he came out with, like, a badass coffee maker?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't see it, but
we throw ideas out on this show, and I just hope somebody capitalizes them. I just throw them at the camera to the public, and I just hope somebody takes that and one-ups it, and if I see it, I'll be like, hey, we talked about that.
Yeah.
This.
One of our ideas will get taken somewhere.
You put out 9 episodes of something, something's going to get catch on, or, you know, you just got to keep doing it. And that's one thing I actually did learn about most of these people that we have interviewed, worked with, legends, whoever they may be, is that I'd say most of the time they say you just got to keep doing what it is you want to do and what makes you happy and just give everything you got, whether it's a fighter, a writer, a comedian. Everybody we've talked to has just hammered that bullet point, and I guess it's never really made sense, you know, I guess until I've looked at it at my life of whatever it is you're doing. It's crazy, though. It's just like it's such simple advice, but you don't believe it because you hear it from the person that already has $1 million in front of them.
Yeah.
And you're
but
just
then
like,
when you get a little closer to them, you see that it's like, oh, yeah, that is a lot of it.
And it sometimes is as surprising as to them. That they even, you know, that they have it, that you're surprised that they have it. Like, how do you have $10 million? I don't know, bro. I just did what I do.
Yeah.
And I have it.
Yeah.
That's what I hope for in life, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, just to do it over and over until something clicks or you do it, you know, long enough. Somebody believes in you. And somebody believed in giving Andy a title shot and he capitalized on it.
Yeah.
Doing what he wants to do. So, but anyways, it's cool. I mean, you just hanging out. You know, obviously you get a taste of the lifestyle, but you learn some real shit.
Yeah, especially when a fighter preparing to go into all-out war.
Gosh.
Like, putting his life on the line.
And then, you know, him hanging out with other fighters in the meantime that are also trying to better their careers and stay hungry and training with them. I'm sure that's inspiring because all three of them are out to just kill.
Yeah.
In their next fight, so it's motivating to see when they're hanging out in the house or going to the gym together or eating together. The fighters we're talking about, though, are, you know, Anthony and Fabian. You could look them up. Anthony Garnica and Fabian Maidana, they're beasts. Check them out. They're probably up on the rise, too. But having those guys around Andy, I'm sure it's very inspiring to him because they remind him probably that what it's like
he
to be hungry
once,
and he
yeah.
was young once. Or, you know, it seems like that who he's hanging out with is well preparing him for this fight, so...
Yeah, he seems really ready. He seems really just ready to go in there and get it done. And
I mean, he said that to the camera.
Yeah.
He's ready to get it done for his fans, for his family, for the people that believe. And I think we believe.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've seen it long enough that he's
ready. He's definitely ready, yeah. It's going to be a really fucking good fight.
I can't wait. It's
December 7th. When this episode comes out, it'll be 2 weeks away.
And, you know... We've been asked when we hang out with these guys, who's your favorite fighter? And, you know, we all say what we say.
We all
and
say
I,
them.
I did say Andy at one point instantly. But, you know, I think it's because now it's like we know him. He's become like a favorite.
You're going to always root for the
right.
Especially if you like the person.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, I like him. Like, he's a great guy. Obviously, he works hard. He's
like,
a champ. And that's cool. He's a champ. But meeting him and seeing how humble he is and how cool he is. That makes him my favorite fighter in that aspect.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know any other fighter. I could just say, I like his fighting style, this particular fighter. I like him because he's a winner. But it's like, you know, maybe he's not necessarily a great guy that you'd want to hang out with. But, like, I hang out with Andy.
Yeah.
I like hanging out with Andy. And he's, you know, he's one of those. Now it's like, okay, Andy's my favorite fighter because I know who he is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Andy's definitely one of my favorite fighters. It's also sucks because Deontay Wilder is one of my favorite fighters, and there's a good chance they'll fight.
But that's the whole thing. That's the beauty part. This is sports. There's nothing wrong with, like, two competitive teams. You know, you're hoping for the best for either one, but you're going to see a great match, and they know that mentally. That's the way they go into it. Andy's going into this as the underdog, as
it's
a champ.
His job. It's what he wants to do.
It's a fighting thing. You know, it's a competitive thing. But it's... Either way, this whole thing has been mind-blowing for me. I don't know about you, but, like, I've never been around champions like that. So, really cool. Hope you guys like that day in the life of when Andy we got coming out. And let us know what you think.
Yeah, and let us know who else you want to see. Who do you want us to go fucking spend a day with?
Honestly.
Because we'll go and do it. We'll make it happen. That's what we do. We make shit happen. So, yeah. That's a fact.
So it doesn't just stop there with who we've been doing some interviews with.
Yeah, yesterday we got the call. We have some other stuff in the works, but we made a Jetline decision, game time decision, to go to the SLS and hang out with Jorge Masvidal. One of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet.
Say it one more time, because I still can't believe that we got to hang out.
Right. Jorge Masvidal, BMF champion.
We were just talking about his fight.
Yeah.
In the last episode.
In the last episode.
And then
we got to spend an evening hanging out with him.
It happened.
Yeah, man, shout out to him. He's fucking really cool. He's really humble. He's really intelligent. He's really polite and...
And at the same time, intimidating.
Very intimidating. But at the same time, that's the cool thing about both with Andy and, like, especially Jorge. These guys are killers. Like, they got the killer instinct. And you'll see in the interview, he talks about it. But I don't feel threatened. You know when you're in the room with them that there's no way I'm winning. There's no way in hell I could win at anything against this guy right now.
Right.
But you don't feel like they're going to fuck you up.
No.
Which is so cool. Like, yeah. I even felt while I was interviewing him, if I said the wrong thing and he got angry, he wouldn't fight me. They're not there to fight all the time. They know when. They know, like, the business. They know what they need to do, and they're not going to fuck that shit up.
Well, it's the way he talks about fighting, too, how it's an art form. It's beautiful in front of you. It spoke to him as a sense of child.
It's human nature.
It's human nature instinctively in all of us, and... You know, it makes you respect him because he's not looking at us at the camera or in that interview and like, I'm here to kill.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like most, you know, I would say a lot of fighters, like that's
a
mentality.
And he is a fucking killer,
a speaking
too.
One. Yeah. But, you know, some people think that, speak that, whereas like he can think that and he speaks, I don't want to say intelligently, but, you know, non-violently.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really cool to see another... A fighter that we already have been watching for years, and obviously we enjoy his fighting skills, but like now you meet him, you're like, I love this guy. This is like now one of my favorite fighters officially.
Yeah, he was definitely, I've watched him for a long time. Not a long time, but like at least a couple of years as he got into the UFC, and then he took that year off. And then watching him come back this year was amazing. I watched his first fight against Till, and I was like, okay, like Masvidal's back, and then boom, the Ben Askren shit. And now Ben Askren's retired.
Yeah, I was going to say, right after that?
Yeah.
Directly after that?
No, he fought again and lost. He got submitted. But Masvidal definitely...
Put the mentality in him that you...
Yeah, fastest knockout in UFC history.
Damn.
And then to come in and beat Nate... no, I mean, he beat him the way he did. I said on the last podcast, I would have loved to see it go the whole way. And it kind of sucks, but... Masvidal was fucking him up. That's for sure. Who knows how the fifth? I won't say that he would win or lose if they would have gone the five, because who fucking knows? But at that point in the fight, he was fucking winning, man. He was shredding.
Well, not only that, he said it too as well. It's like he's in the main event in Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
Like regardless of the outcome of the fight. Legendary, just to have that being at the top of that card. They said they gave him like a Knicks jersey with his name on
it.
Yeah,
and
just
like I can't fucking play basketball.
Yeah, but just like the fact that somebody like that is still being amazed in their own career after so long, and he's still
and
doing
finding
it.
Peace in things not fighting.
Yeah,
finding out what that guy does in his free time and just like wow,
mind blowing.
Yeah,
I even said to him after the interview, skiing, huh? That's incredible. And he just went off on all these mountains, and you're like, that's really cool. I'm sure he has some dope photos and experiences and stories from that we'll have to ask him next time. Maybe we'll go skiing with him for an interview.
Yeah,
that'd be
kind
of dope just to go with him and put a microphone on him and see when he goes down the hill
what he's saying.
Just like, oh shit, put a GoPro on his head. Masvidal hits the slopes.
Yeah.
That'd be dope.
Yeah.
Another idea.
But yeah, man, that was fucking sick. That was one of the coolest times. We were with him for, a couple hours just chilling their last night in LA. And we're definitely going to try to do more stuff with them. The interview will come out probably the day after this, tomorrow.
Yeah.
It'll be out tomorrow. Man, it's fucking sick. We're excited. We're happy.
It's super a blessing. I mean, to be tapped and like, are you available tonight for that?
Yeah. And they were down.
Clear my whole
schedule. Yeah.
But yeah, I can't wait for all these videos for everybody to check out. These guys are incredible. Me and Woody and I have been talking about how, what a year to work with these guys on their biggest years of their career, what may be. I mean, Masvidal, like you said, might be up for Fighter of the Year.
He's probably going to win.
We'll confirm that on an episode later on, and we'll say, look at that. And then Andy, champ, getting two biggest fights of his life in 1 year.
Yep.
Kevin Smith comes out back with Jay and Silent Bob reboot. I mean, I know he's done movies for a couple years in between, but nothing with a Jay and Silent Bob movie in fucking 10 years.
Yeah.
So maybe longer. So he comes back. He's on the scene. We work with Tommy all the time. Weed is getting more and more accepted and legalized, and we get to hang out with Tommy in a big year. And it's just pretty cool to be put in the place of people like this, and it's inspiring. So it's really cool to share with everybody, too.
Yeah, definitely. And we're just going up from here. So,
and the reason why I've been so over-talkative about all of it is because even on my way home last night, somebody ran a red light on my green light, and it scared the shit out of me to see those headlights coming at your door. And I honked my horn as they drove by, even though they missed my car. I basically was making a left. They were coming from that side. I went halfway into the first lane where you can I saw two cars in each lane, but one was going faster than the other. And I just had this hunch that one doesn't look like they're stopping. So I stopped midway in the intersection so that even if they saw me last second, they could swerve left around me. And I still gave it a little room, but close enough to where I just saw it blow by the headlights. And people say your life flashes before you. That didn't happen, but the thought of whoa, had I not just slowed down and looked to the left, I certainly would have been clipped or broadsided. And fuck, that was crazy. And makes me appreciate all this shit way more than I ever did. So everybody out there, watch for those red lights.
Yeah, I think when a life-threatening situation is presented in front of yourself, I've had a couple myself. I've never had the light flash before your eyes, but it's the question of, are you ready?
Right. There you go. And I had 3 seconds in the car to do that.
And I think that question often makes people think they're reflecting on their life. So yeah, your life flashes before your eyes, but it's always been, am I ready? Have I done enough? And yeah, at this point in my life, I'll never think I've done enough, but it's cool to, because you go through ups, you go through downs, you get to the highs, you get to lows, but we're at the highest of the high that we've been, and it's still growing. So it's cool that when you do reflect, or we reflect, that's where we're at, and we're just getting started. So
and that's another thing I thought through my mind. I'm like, what? No, we just hung out with Ori Masvidal,
right?
And you're gonna tell me I was fortunate enough, and I do this at every intersection for the most part. I look left and right. I know that's very boomer of me, but hey, man, there's a lot of people that are shitty-ass drivers out there, and I'm sorry if you're one of them listening to this right now, but for real, everybody be careful out there. This is no joke with these cars, the way we're... And there was a study, this is just off the top of my head, and I remember reading about it, about how the whole car industry is such a downer because of pushing the idea. So, let me try to retract what I'm trying to say here. Basically, how scary it is to drive is in your mentality. And that is a fear that doesn't normally exist, that you could die in a car. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
It's amazing.
It's not human instinct.
Right. And it's like you're in a little vessel traveling and it can go. And gosh, I wish I'm going to have to find the article about this and maybe I'll repost about it. But there was a whole study about what driving does to the psyche. And it's so funny that, like, I was watching an episode of Comedians in Cars with Coffee and, like, Tina Fey doesn't even have her license or drive. She
lives in New York, though, but still.
Still.
And,
you know?
And I want a bunch of nice cars and whatever, but that's what when I'm. Have the money to do it, I'm fucking getting a driver.
But you're still at risk of being in a car. Yeah. That's what's crazy to me. So anyways, I'll look more into this, but driving is crazy. And everybody is considered at risk driving or being in another car. We saw a guy fall asleep at the wheel at an intersection the other day, just walking down the street. He almost, when we were walking, he was asleep. There was somebody behind him holding down their horn at a green light. The guy missed the entire light.
Yeah.
Blackout asleep. This was at like 3:30. So, you know, this dude just got off work. He just drove through the canyon.
Yeah,
it's
he was
long,
in a
slow
truck
drive,
with a bunch of tools in it.
You know, he had a long day. Fall asleep at the wheel. Horns are honking. Nothing. The guy let go of the brake. And Woody and I are watching because his light turned red. And Woody and I are just, whoa, 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 whoa. And he's just drifting with his head back, about to roll into an intersection where the light just turned green the opposite way. It was the scariest fucking thing I've ever seen. And he just somehow woke up to, like, break in the intersection. And that's what I'm talking about. Something like that would have flown this way, that way, probably near us, because we were only like 60 to 70 feet away. We weren't that far. Okay, maybe 60 yards away, I should say. No.
That's pretty fucking far.
That was pretty far. So maybe it was like 100 feet. Let's just say.
Yeah, we're probably 100 feet.
100 feet from this guy's car, and a ricochet of glass or of a tire or something could have hit us. I'm just saying. Driving is the cause of all that, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. But you can't. You just got to, unfortunately.
I'm tripping.
We got to live in a day where you can put that, you gotta work through it, you know?
You do.
Unfortunately, they're, like you said, they're not human instincts, they're made fears, but to get to the top, to get through everything, you just have to put it aside. It's just like shit you can't, it's like, if you're gonna drive, like, all right, you have this percentage, there's no way around it, all right, we'll keep it moving. And
that's
accept
great.
That. Yeah. But it's the people, because there is people, it's the people that are scared to, like, come out their houses and shit. Because,
oh, yeah.
Like, they're scared of, like, but like, to the point where they're even just scared of getting a melanoma from the sun, you know, which is like it happens, but it's not like, you're probably more, exactly.
Yeah. I get what you're saying on
so
that.
Like,
but keep going on that.
Yeah.
Thought.
So there's people that small of something, for some reason, is such a large fear to them that they can't even leave their house. So it's like, the more you can kind of put aside, like, okay, if I'm going to be in the sun, I'll wear sunscreen or not, whatever, but I could get a melanoma. Okay, I accept that. You move forward. You can now be in the sun. Like, the driving thing. Because we live in L.A. I almost got hit this morning on the highway.
I have a public fear of any shootings now.
Definitely. Definitely.
I developed that in the last couple of years. That's just me, though. I mean, I'm kind of a worrier inside, but... There's a reason why I don't like to go to, as much crowded things anymore. And it's
definitely in California. We've had, like, a lot of shooting. Not, like,
close to
obviously
home.
Not the biggest ones, but we've had some pretty bad ones out here.
I'm
especially in the Los Angeles.
I'm from the area where the Borderline shooting was, and I knew people there. I knew a guy that was there that night that told me some stories. And you know, and I already had a fear before that, but hearing that stuff, it's kind of not messed me up, but I played in a billiards league, and I was on a pool team, and we played on, I don't know what night it was, like Monday or Tuesday nights, Monday nights probably, and after that shooting, since we played our billiards league at a bar probably not more than 5 miles from that other bar that got shot, and where the incident was, and, you know, there was nights that I was in the bar where you hear the door open behind you, the little bell rings for the bar, and you just want to look. You just do. You just instinctively turn your back. And it's stupid, or people may say it's stupid, but that's the time we live in. And everybody develops fears. Maybe I'm getting older and I think about these things, but it's just, you know, things are happening more often that the spots wouldn't surprise me where they happen. I've been at that bar where there is a fight, and it necessarily just things happen. It just, it's on your mind now. It's a fear. And I don't know if I necessarily have that, like, going to Disneyland or, you know, nothing like that. I'm just saying you just put yourself in the mentality of where you're at, then what's accessible and what could happen.
You just got to be aware now that could happen.
Maybe I was too young to think about it, or maybe things just weren't happening like that, but I certainly didn't think about this 10 years ago.
No. Things weren't happening like this 10 years ago, and even if the things that were, they just weren't publicized as much.
Fears, man.
Yeah, but speaking of fears, this is off that topic, but one thing I'm scared to death of is being stabbed, everyone is, but here's my reason. This is crazy, actually, and it's the craziest. It's about a dream, right? So I'll start here. So basically, I was dating this girl, and she went to a different school than I did, and her ex lived in the apartment, and or not her apartment, sorry, but the same apartment building. And I'll let you guys put the rest of that story together in your head. You can probably guess the ending. But anyway, at one point, I was back at where I was going to school, and I had this dream. And in the dream, it was me and this girl in the elevator at her apartment. And it was like, because I've been there. So it was like, it was exactly. And this shit felt so real. So we're in the elevator, right? And the door closes. We go up one floor, though. And she's on the top, one floor. Opens up. It's her ex. He walks in. It's all good. The door closes. And then they start to, like, fucking yell at each other. And I'm just kind of standing there, like, And then, like, dude, I say something. I don't remember what it was. And this guy looks at me and just fucking stabs me in the stomach. And then I drop down. The door opens. He walks out. She walks out with him. And I just remember it, like, vividly just laying there, bleeding out. Door closes, helpless. And it was terrifying. It's the most scary. I've had a lot of fucked up
this
dreams.
This is a dream. I was like, this sounded real.
It was so real, dude. It was so fucking real. And I remember literally, like, feeling like, oh, helpless, like I'm dead. That was crazy.
I don't like dreams like that.
Yeah, because there's dreams where you die, and that's crazy. But a dream where you suffer and you lay there dying, that's fucking crazy. And it fucked me up.
I fall in my dreams a lot, like where you wake up in the falling thing. And I have a fear of heights, but a fear of accidentally falling over, not necessarily like, oh yeah, it is high up, but like I don't want to be near the edge because I don't want anybody behind me. But I say this because this past weekend in my hometown there's a bridge, and there have been people that have jumped off, and there was a possible jumper this past weekend. They shut down the freeway. And but then when I was talking about it with some friends, they brought up that sometime this year somebody accidentally fell off the bridge, their car broke down, which I don't get why you would park on the bridge, and then they sat on the ledge. Wind or whatever may have you, the guy, person, girl, I don't know who it was. I didn't look into this, but it's the myth around town or the story I heard. And I just, there it is, a fear of heights. That's the reason why I don't go near ledges. You just never know. I have all kinds of weird fears now that I'm saying this out loud.
I used to have this dream when I was younger. It was like, so in the house I lived at the time, there was like a door, but like, you know, the old, there's like, I feel like now doors are glass, and in nicer houses doors are glass, but remember like the old doors where the glass was at the top and you couldn't see out of it? It was just kind of there because you were short.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then like you would have the glass next to the door. So I always remember this dream where I'd like wake up, run down to the door, and like look out that window, and like three cars are just pulling up, all like gunned up, like AKs, and I'll just be like, what the fuck, and just like run back. And then that dream, I had that dream so many times. I was like fucking 8 years old. And then I had another one. It was like a tall staircase in that house. I always had a dream that for some fucking reason I jump off the fucking top of the stairs and just fucking break my legs and no one's home.
Oh no.
I have a lot of suffering dreams. I don't know why. Maybe someone out there who knows dreams can tell me what that means. But yeah, a lot of dreams where I'm suffering.
There are like dream books, right? Like and shit.
Yeah,
like
but
I know, like I don't
want.
And well, by the time you remember, you're not gonna go research it.
Yeah,
know?
And I'm like, I usually don't remember any of my dreams, but the suffering ones I fucking remember. I've got one where I was in a plane crash. I've had them fucking all. For some reason, and I only have nightmares. Maybe, like, that's what night terrors is. But because, you know, like, when you smoke so much weed, you don't dream as much.
Right.
So I think the only time I dream is when it's a fucking night terror, mm-hmm. like when it's, like, super bad. Because they're all fucking scary. And sometimes,
if that's true, because I still have dreams and I smoke a lot of weed.
Really? I definitely don't have dreams. Every night, no. But when I do, they're terrifying. But sometimes I wake up from a scary dream and I'm like, yeah, I fucking needed that shit.
How do you
shit.
Fall asleep? Do you fall asleep with the TV on or no. music on or anything? No. You just go to sleep in the dark?
I lay there and contemplate my life, and then I...
For real?
Yeah.
Nah, you gotta fall asleep to something.
It's not good for you.
Put some music on.
It's not good for you.
What isn't?
That.
To put stuff on?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have happier dreams than you.
Yeah, probably.
I fall asleep to, like, Seinfeld and Workaholics.
Yeah, I don't know.
It helps me. I feel like I wake up laughing.
There's two things. Like, I do that, and then I fast a whole day once a week. Hmm. I haven't done it every week, but that's what I've been trying to do. I did it last Sunday.
I overeat one day a week. I try to just go balls to the wall and just eat Krispy Kreme donuts and Del Taco and one night.
Yeah, I did that too, unfortunately. But I don't know. I'm trying to clear my mind, body, and soul more, and that's one way to do it.
It makes
being
sense.
Silent when you sleep.
I would think that's a good one, but I don't know. My mind wanders way too much at night.
I have to
be distracted. I don't want to think of those things because I think about them all day when I'm editing.
Yeah.
Because I'm such a position to sometimes work robotically.
Yeah.
But like my mind wanders about the day or whatever. So I think about those things then and I'm realizing like, oh, that's deep. I don't want to think about that before I go to bed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about the deepest shit before I go to bed. And It's good because I think about some of the deepest shit in my life almost every day at that moment, and it fucks you up, but it makes you work a lot harder, you know? Because you think when you go deep on yourself, pause. But when you go deep into your mind and like into your thoughts, a lot of the time those are gonna be some negative thoughts that you're finding. So whether it's negative thoughts about yourself or just bad shit or things you think you regret or whatever. A lot of the times when you go into that part of your brain, that's what you're going to get. So when you think about it, it's like Joe Rogan with weed. He says he smokes weed and he gets the paranoia, but he likes it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, I like that. Which may be unhealthy, but
yeah.
I like it and it keeps me
Well, it probably keeps you mentally strong.
Yeah.
Keeps you grounded.
When you're always getting punched on.
Kind of pumps you up, too, probably, when you think of the negative shit. You're like, I got to write this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Everybody is programmed differently to the way they think of things, you know? There's some people that don't have a negative thought in their body.
I don't believe
everything
that.
Everything is Disney Plus.
I don't believe that. I think there's
I don't believe it either, but there's people that put themselves out there like
yes,
that.
Yes,
like,
yes,
there's
yes,
some
yes.
people that are just so awesomely sweet, and like you're like, that person probably has never wanted to fight anybody in their
You're
life.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's bizarre to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that... I feel like often the people that are positive all the time have the most negative shit. But they're just... With me, it's like... It's so much to deal with the negative, the positive, the ups, the downs, that it's like, I don't have the energy nor time to also put on this fake persona. So I'm just going to go through it openly with the doors wide open.
Is that why we're in here 14 hours a day?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why I'm on this mic right now, you know? Like,
no, I'm with you.
You keep it open and you just let it roll. Because
work is a therapy.
Whatever.
If you love it.
Yeah, it's like boxing. I want to get back in the gym for real, but this is like the gym. This is where the mind gets cleared, the ideas get done and made. And
I make a lot of ideas when I'm driving.
Yeah.
Like, I just drive and I can put on, like, music. And I honestly come up with some pretty, like, interesting concepts when I'm on the road. My mind just wanders. But I'm a great driver. My mind wanders on creativity when I'm driving. And maybe it's because I just, you know, when your hands are busy or your body's busy doing something, you know, like, if you're running on a treadmill, you know, your mind wanders. So it's, like, to me, like that. But, like, I come up with shit that, like, like concepts
definitely.
That I come to you and I'm like, I thought of this and it was because I was driving, or I'm like, oh, that would be cool.
A lot of the times when I'm driving, and I probably people can relate to this, I'll pick an emotion I want to feel and then play that genre. So if I'm like, I'm feeling all like hung up or sad about girls, I'll
put that lo-fi No Copyright on.
I'll put the Bryson Tiller on, or the
who?
Bryson Tiller.
I don't know.
Maybe some R&B. Put all that on. If I'm like, want to get hyped, you know, I'll put on, you know, Dave East or some shit. But And then you just lock into that mood, you lock into that feeling, and that you just sulk or you sing along and rap along because it's making you happy or whatever. But yeah, then the other half I'll have podcasts on, taking notes, basically.
Which is great because that's
rolling blunts.
I think listening to podcasts, obviously, it's a new thing to everybody, but really it's just talk radio now.
100%.
But finding your niche for talk radio.
Uncensored as well.
It's good to help have people listen to other people talk. And I mean, I listen to AM radio.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like how what we always say, like, come smoke with us and join the conversation. Like, I feel like a podcast, like a radio. Radio shows, segments. It didn't feel like you were in the conversation, whereas like podcasts feel a little more like you're there.
Yeah,
like people talk about it all the time. How it's like, I remember Bert Kreischer even said like he'll throw on the Joe Rogan podcast and throw it in a different room when he's on tour, just to kind of feel like he's there, like he's got people there. And I'm guilty of that too sometimes when I'm chilling. I'm like, I'll just throw a podcast on and lay here and draw or design this shit or write this shit.
Maybe that's why I watch so many sports games, because I can just hear everybody yelling around me when I turn it way up, like, and there. Like I'm there, and it's interesting to think about.
It's a way to take your mind out of reality, I guess.
But yeah, I think the podcasts are good. I just, my attention span, I like to hear bullet points and facts and then move on. Like,
yeah.
Tell me about the game last night. And then once they start talking too much about the game, I just switch it. It's like, I got it. Like, can we move on to some news or like bullet points or some insight for real? Or like, get Mike Vick on here and let's have Mike Vick talk, you know?
Right.
Like, I listen to Mike Vick on Monday. He usually comes in on like 9:30s now on the herd to like do a little bit of what he thought. And what's funny is every week they're just talking about Lamar Jackson with,
Yeah, because he's Mike crushing Vick, it.
Well, Lamar Jackson's about to pass up some Mike Vick records.
Oh, yeah? Already? Yeah,
already.
How many rushing touchdowns does he have?
I don't know any. I didn't get to hear that whole segment, but they were like, we got Mike Vick on next. We're going to talk about, he wants to talk about Lamar Jackson, possibly some records that Lamar might be breaking of Mike's, but we don't know how Mike's going to feel about that, so we're going to hear about that next. And I was like, damn, I'm at work.
Right. I mean, Lamar Jackson's a very similar player to
it's going to be Vick. Incredible. To see him finish out this year, because they still got to the playoffs last year. And
he'll probably get to the Super Bowl this year. I hope.
I think so. It's going to be an interesting year. Health is everything, and he takes care of himself, but they are getting a little concerned of him running a little too much.
They said that about Michael Vick.
They did.
They said that about
Kaepernick,
too.
But Mike Vick also said you don't want to do that. Mike Vick talked about on the air about health and things he had to do and teams he went to where he knew he was going to get beat up, and he even talked about certain games he'd go into, like, I know I'm going to get beat up. I better really take care of myself going into this game. And just hearing all that, and it's like, but hoping Lamar stays on a good team like that, he won't have to think about that. But you don't think about, like,
every hit.
Every hit. Being a running quarterback, you want to change the game, you're going to have to accept some hits here and there. And that's why I was worried about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Because he's a running game quarterback.
But that motherfucker can throw, as we saw in the
videos. Yeah. No, I know. But, I mean, if he's going to end up on a dumpster team, they're not going to have a line to protect him.
Yep.
He's not going to have time to throw the ball. I hope he's quick getting rid of the ball, or he's still able to scramble and take a hit, because you never know. There might be players that don't like him back in the league taking cheap shots on him, which is what I don't want to see either if he gets back in the league. So it's a very touchy subject this week. Everybody's talking about it. We talked about it last week. As always, we talk about sports now, but these are also very social issues. And
which is crazy, because where I'm from in the Midwest, one of our vice principals at one of the schools there got in trouble because she shared an article about it. And yes, you're not supposed to be political, I guess, at that stature, but nah, fuck you for getting mad because you think the other way.
And they pulled the... can't talk politics in school settings.
Yeah, of course they did, but it's because all the fucking people that hate Kaepernick, which there's a lot. Being from the Midwest, I've seen it, and they're stupid. I won't say that, but a lot of them they're very, let's say, hard-headed and closed-minded, and they don't change their opinion, and they pulled that bullshit on her.
It's a big country with a lot of different opinions, and if you got to imagine 50-50 everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Bad with the good with the bad. That's funny to say.
But who knows what's going to happen, man. But yeah. I hope Kaepernick still. I hope he gets on a team. I don't know. I would have never guessed that what happened this weekend was going to happen, but the way it did. But who knows?
Yeah.
He's got the skill, apparently. That's what I read. That I don't know who, but someone.
I wonder if there's gambling odds on where he's going to end up. I know we've made some predictions. We got to look for that. I got to see. Because I'm curious, like, has Vegas listed odds? So, like, do they know something? You know what I mean? The only reason why you would have odds is because, like, you know, based on stats and inside information.
Yeah, who knows? By the time this comes out, he may be on a team.
Well, there might be, like, local books or something like that. I'm sure you can Google it because there was, like, always that story that pops up in the news of, like, this guy placed this bet. And you're like, who's taking that bet?
Oh, yeah. I was like, guy made 10 grand off, like, the color of the Gatorade at the Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
So you can do that on fucking
My Bookie and Bovada and all that shit.
I'm pretty sure.
Pretty sure too. But bet you know,
making 15 grand on them. It was Artie Lang on Joe Rogan was talking about when he would throw a lot of money that every Super Bowl he would throw at least 10 grand on
the coin toss.
And he lost 50% of the time. So he'd be going into the game 10 fucking grand down.
No.
But if you win that bet, you win 10 grand.
You're right cheering, at the start of the game. But I mean, somebody putting 10 grand down at the beginning is putting down.
Mark my words, I'm making a 10 grand bet in the next 4 years.
I like it. I was speaking of gambling. My one sore subject this week, I guess that will grind my gears or question, or maybe we can start a petition on this podcast. I had a conversation with my buddy about this. And in gambling, when you're betting baseball, you can bet for, if you're betting for a team, you can bet action or listed pitcher. And, you know, that's because pitchers can change. They get hurt in warmups, they pull a hammy, whatever it is. You know, things happen. I've even seen it where it's like, oh, he caught a blister in warmups. Like, he caught a blister on his throwing finger and he's out, and you already put the bet in on action because you didn't change it to listed pitcher. So what will happen is that if you had the bet on a listed pitcher and he gets scratched, that bet is negated. So you would, you know, it sucks if they win, but it also gets you out if that wasn't the pitcher. What if the guy that comes in as the backup gets lit up in the first inning and then it's over and they never come back and they get crushed? You lost out on that bet. Now, there's options for baseball to change that up. To pick action, you'll take in the team no matter who's the pitcher. You take listed pitcher, you could take just the pitcher you want. You don't care who the other team's pitcher is. You could put that pitcher in no action.
And if they don't go in, then the bet's canceled.
No, you just got to make sure the pitcher you choose or both pitchers, you got to. There's a whole drop-down thing. Get into that. But my whole point was that this is very similar to hockey with goalies. The goalies are never confirmed until, like, you know, closer to game time, but the odds are out early in the morning. And the goalie is, like, the biggest thing to, you know, to affect a game. Of a team winning, you know. I don't care if he's on a hot streak or if he's been playing four nights on a row. There's very many factors of what your goalie is in or out for that game. They might say, oh, you need rest, last minute, you need rest, but you already put your bet in, and they're putting in the backup, and he's confirmed, and you're like, shit. They should do something where if you put that in last minute and don't realize there's anything, they should have a listed or action on the goalies.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea. I don't know who to talk to. Gambling Commission of Nevada. If you're watching this, I'd like a meeting in that room and we can talk about getting this on the board. I'd like to say that we started this on the podcast. Maybe it's an issue. It's already out there, but I'm for it. Sign me up. I'll be there. I know Woody's for it. I know my buddy Chris is for it. Let's get NHL goalie action listed on the gambling circuit or sports book.
I'm with it.
Cool.
I'm with it.
That's my grief for the week.
But I do know you keep betting on the fucking Lakers. I kind of want to put a bet.
I need the over in this game we got on behind here.
Yeah, which you're about to get it in 14 points.
There's 195 points. I need 210. There's still 6-7 minutes to go. I think we're good. What do we need? 15? 16 points in 6 minutes, 7 minutes.
I kind of want to put some money on the Lakers getting it, winning the Western
NBA.
Conference. Not the I don't think I'd put it on the champ. I think they're gonna do it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't, just because this is the first year of this team. But I think they'll win the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah,
against the Rockets, maybe. But no, because. It all depends on the rankings.
Yeah,
who knows? The Lakers could end up being second, and like the Rockets are sixth and they end up playing each other and first and they're out.
It'll be an interesting year. This is the first year where nothing's really a given anymore about who's making playoffs. This
yeah, except we all know Golden State's not.
Not. They are actually the worst team in the NBA. Next to the Knicks, I think. They
which just goes to fucking show, but they are down like half their team.
They're probably tanking at this point to get that pick.
They don't give a shit. They don't give
if they
shit.
Get a number one pick. They have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and back Draymond Green year. Coming back next yeah. year with a number one.
Draymond
pick.
Green's is out
he's
there.
Still
and
playing.
It sucks.
Yeah.
I would hate being him. Like, we can't win
but
now.
Would you, or you just want to just say that was the year I got to play just me on a team?
Yeah, just fucking around.
Yeah,
trying
like
to do
look
it.
Back and like yeah, people like fair. That was his biggest year in points. Yeah, because it was just
yeah,
me.
It's just him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe that helps him get more money in a contract for saying like, well.
Or maybe
argue.
It makes him that makes
because he could go to a shitty team and like, well, what can you provide? Well, I was just on a team by myself and these are my numbers, yeah. so bring me.
Or they trade him.
One other crazy NBA thing that I saw this week they were recapping was that that giant fight between the Pacers and the Sixers about 15 years ago. Remember when Artest jumped in
the crowd
hit a fan,
beat
all
that guy.
What did
oh,
they call
bro.
It? I forget what they call it. It's
I don't
like
know, but I remember that fight.
It was the Rumble and something in the Garden or something like that, and. I watched the they reposted the clip somewhere.
He fucked him up,
dude. That was a real brawl. There was I don't even know if they finished that game.
No.
There was beer and bottles and everything thrown on the court from the fans. Mayhem. Yeah. Maybe was it called Mayhem at the Garden? I don't even know.
Maybe.
But
have you seen any of the Pistons fights when they were like the I don't remember what they called them, but they were like. The bad boys. Dude.
Oh, really? Back in the day?
Yeah.
Like maybe. The like old school, like 70s?
Yeah, maybe the 80s.
Fuck. But either way, crazy. Just knowing it's, we always recap things that have happened 15, 20 years ago, 25 years ago on the show. And I saw that the other day and I was like, that was 15 years ago. Crazy.
You know what's crazy is fucking some of the movies that are 25 years old now.
I know. That's weird for me to think about.
And the, like how Ferris Bueller is.
Somebody spilled their popcorn on the court here. Did you know that,
and LeBron's helping clean yeah. it up, dude. Shout out LeBron, bro. All he wants to do is fucking play.
You ever seen that meme of Jack Nicholson spilling that chili on himself courtside at the Lakers
yeah.
game and
oh,
not
yeah.
and being removed from his seat? Oh, my
he
God.
He got removed from it?
Pretty sure. Was they told him multiple times, you can't bring the chili down to the court or something like that.
And then he
like, that's a story, and he just, like, did it this time.
Jack
he's
Nicholson,
like, he can do whatever he wants, but they, I think they kicked him out for the game, though. We'll have to double-check that, but... That's fucking hilarious to think about now seeing popcorn on the floor. I want to see if that guy gets ejected for delaying
the
game.
He wasn't even there.
The guy wasn't? Somebody
yeah.
knocked over his shit?
I think they might have knocked it down. Like they
that's
hit
fucking
stands,
interesting.
Basketball is crazy because you're literally courtside.
Oh, and Davis dunks. All right, I think I pretty much got that over.
Yeah.
199 points.
I love the Lakers. I love how they're looking.
I love L.A.
Is that their song? Is that the Dodgers
that's
song?
That's the Dodgers song. But I am wearing my shirt for this episode.
Los Lakers.
You got the Miami Dolphins colors yeah. going on.
Shout out Dolphins. Shout out their undefeated season.
Don Shula.
Don Shula. And shout out all the coke they did back then in the NFL.
Probably.
100%. I was watching Cocaine Cowboys, or I think that was the one where they talked about it, how they would just...
Cocaina.
About doing shit with the Raiders back then, but... I remember hearing something about Sam Kinison, like the Raiders came in, they're like, oh, they like got a little line out, and they're like, oh, it'd be like an honor to do this coke with you, and Sam goes, and then goes, they're like, oh, and he dumps a fat ass thing, and he takes a huge line, and he goes, now finish the rest.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, Sam but I Kinison. Also heard that that image like kind of fucked him up because it was like he felt obligated to do the blow.
Yeah.
And it fucked him up.
Man.
And he didn't die from that. I mean, the way he died was...
Kind of fucked up.
Yeah. He got hit by a drunk driver that was a young kid that actually was a fan of him. Just fucked up. And it's crazy because Sam Kinison, one, used to be a preacher, but apparently when he was younger, he got hit by a car. And I guess Roseanne, this... shout out Joe Rogan because that's where I learned this from, but it's... It's also in Sam Kinison's brother's book he wrote about him. But he got hit by a car, and he completely changed after.
Damn.
Yeah, same with Roseanne Barr.
She got hit by a car?
Something like that.
And now she's all different?
Yep. That's not why she was doing all that shit.
Right, no.
But
no,
those
no,
were
no.
the perks. But, Yeah, it's crazy to think about. Like, back to the fact that your shit could get ended in a second. I had this thought the other day about, I don't know, I was watching something on TV and it was like where like amnesia and shit. It's like, I can't even imagine either being the person or more so being the person that has to deal with that. Like, imagine like a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a mom or a dad, and then their son or boy or whatever doesn't even remember you at all anymore. And oh, at sad. That moment, yeah. Because what are you going to do? You can't sit there and fucking make him remember you. Like, no. That's not fair. You just got to let him, like, figure it out and heal.
Yeah.
Because what happens if you, you could hate your mom. And that's fucked up. But you could, like,
but
hate
you don't remember
that
she's your mom.
Yeah. And obviously the mom and dad, if you're the parent, you should continue. But if it's, like, a girlfriend or a boyfriend, it's, like, you just got to let him go and help him as much as you can. But you can't sit there and try to remake that shit. And that's a crazy thought. Because there's literally nothing you can do.
No.
These are some high fucking thoughts.
We dropped some serious high knowledge tonight. Some thoughts. Some ideas for you to reflect on while you're the lonely stoner at night. Freeing your mind. Is that how it goes?
Free my mind at night. I may be going to Colorado, which is cool. We may be going to Vegas soon.
A little place called Aspen.
I hope. Honestly, I might.
It's where the salmon flock instinctively, like the women, like the salmon instinctively. Ah, fuck it.
Have you ever been to Aspen?
No.
Dude, we got
to go. I've never even been to Colorado.
Really? You should come with me. I got a house out there. I don't have a house, but. And my family has some houses out there.
There's like a Travis Scott song where he's like, my boy and me in Colorado smoking California reefer.
Yeah. Colorado's dope. I like Colorado. Aspen's fucking really cool, but it's like super, it's like the LA of the mountain.
I've had a lot of people tell me they like Colorado.
Jack Nicholson has a pretty crazy house in Aspen. Of course, and they probably did a lot of blow in there. You know what I'm saying?
Tommy used to hang out with Jack Nicholson or something like that? Or, you know, he was in the same room and he has a story where Jack Nicholson just, like, looked right past him or something like that.
Yeah, he went to, a Hollywood party back in the day and it was at Jack Nicholson's house.
Yeah.
And he was like that. He was actually excited to meet him and he was just like, I'm Tommy. And Jack Nicholson just didn't fucking say a word.
Something like that.
And
then right
that
by
was
him.
The same party that he
smoked weed with.
Well, he went into a room and to spark up, and John Lennon was in there.
That's right.
And
he passed because of immigration laws.
And then
Rod Stewart walked in, and he passed because he didn't want to hurt his voice.
Yep.
And then
who was the third person? Someone came in and smoked with him.
I don't know.
We have it
somewhere.
This is
who
a Tommy
it was.
Moment.
Maybe it was one of the other Beatles.
No, not that.
Just a random party.
Ringo, maybe.
No, maybe it was somebody else that was just like, oh, okay. Or maybe even Tommy just ended up smoking by himself.
That's true.
That's what kind of legend he is.
Yeah, Tommy will face a blunt when he has to. Just like we'll face a blunt. Oh, also, I want to say shout out Mr. Savages. That guy's dope.
Oh, yeah. We met Mr. Savages with Andy. He's a man of many trades, but he was Andy's barber for
barber,
that day.
Yeah.
Clothing
yep.
company.
Yep.
Did he do tattoos, or he just has
tattoos?
No. He probably could tattoo.
Yeah, he's got a weed brand, the Savage pre-rolls,
Woods.
Yeah, which Savage Woods, which are pretty good. We're gonna do some stuff with him. He was actually a really cool dude, man. Again, just they welcomed us with open arms that camp did, and it was super dope.
Yeah, be on the lookout for that in the next couple of weeks. We might work with him or look him up on Instagram.
Yeah, definitely check him out. Check out what he's got going on. Strong
Connected
Cartel.
In multiple worlds.
Yeah, just doing another a man doing his fucking thing, which is you always gotta respect someone doing their thing, and we try to show everyone love because. We're out here doing the same, just trying to do our own thing and get some shit going.
Hell yeah.
And that's what it's about.
Yo, really Cash App.
I kind of dove deep, to be honest. I feel like that's a pretty good.
Yeah, we kind of got introspective on this episode for whatever reason. I guess with the amount of work we've been doing, when you do that amount of work comes with some self-reflection. And you got to always be able to do it open. People are always scared to think about what you do. One, I feel like people feel bad or weird congratulating themselves, which is something that people should do. And I think we are starting to do that for everything we've done, which again is a hard thing to do. But yeah, but also you got to look at what you can change and what you could do better. And I think we kind of took this podcast to talk about that. But I'll leave it with this. I have a funny, I think we'll try to tell, I feel like this was deep, so we'll do something a little lighthearted. But every podcast I'm going to try to tell a story, or we're both going to try to tell a story of, you know, just something that happened in our life. And this one's kind of funny. I remembered it yesterday, and I think, yeah, we can end it with this so we're not ending on something so serious. But back in high school, off-campus lunch, which is something that where I'm from, not every school had. It kind of depends, but we did, and we took advantage of that for sure, especially as a weed smoker. And back then, when I was in high school, it was way more illegal, and it still is in Iowa, but it was very, 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 very illegal. So anyway, my high school was in blocks, first, second, third, fourth block, hour and a half each or some shit. A lunch was in between second and third block, and then B lunch was in the middle of third block. So we'd have class for like 50 minutes, go out to like an hour lunch, come back and have 30 more minutes to finish up.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Fast forward. So we smoke every time. So we would meet up before school because I had first block off, so I didn't have to be in class till about 10:30. So we'd meet up, smoke before, and then for lunch, we'd just go back to the homie's house and smoke. But it'd be funny because we'd be like, our high would be kind of coming down by the time we're at the start of the third block. But then when we'd come back, we'd be so freshly fucking ripped. And I just remember the thrill in high school of being high, especially when it was super illegal, because you're like, holy shit.
I always was the one that reeked.
Right? I always reeked. My eyes were always red, but it was so exhilarating back then to be high in fucking class, especially when you get called on, bro, and you're just like, fuck.
When I was doing it a bunch, I was, fifth period for me was art class. And
yeah.
It was a big, where they do like the ceramic stuff in
yeah.
there in
oh,
that
yeah.
same room. So you couldn't, it was such a big room and it smelled like
yeah,
like
you're
a burnt
always
kettle
good.
Or whatever you want to call it, burnt cement shit. And I was like super lucky to just like get into that
yeah.
class and go draw.
Yeah, I had at this time I had AP psychology.
So
a normal.
So you had to get all inside of.
Yeah, but
shit.
It was cool to get high because my teacher was chill. This teacher also allegedly fucked the principal. Like my principal had an affair.
Yikes.
Yeah, I won't say what high school I went to, but it was fucked up. But anyway, so we go back. It's lunch, in middle of third period. Meet up with a homie. Drive back to the crib, and we didn't. For some reason, we didn't have anything to smoke out of that day. So we made a classic apple piece.
Yes.
We're smoking a bunch, and this is like the last bowl. Like we're about ready to just feast real quick and head back to class and, you know, Axe body spray it up and continue the day and be high as shit. I go to light the bowl and I burn off half my fucking eyebrow. And like that is detrimental. That is something you, as a smoker, that's something you're always, I feel so, now even more so when I'm smoking, I get fucking paranoid that's going to fucking happen. But what made it even worse is how my lunch was B lunch. So it wasn't like I was going to a new class where I could be like, yeah, whatever. Nah, I'm going back to the same class.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to know. They're going to be like, dude, your eyebrow was
very
not
noticeable.
Half. So anyway, so get back to the class and, I mean, there was nothing I could do. I wasn't going to pull like the Sharpie. My eyebrows are pretty light as it is. There was nothing I could do, Ron. I just owned it, and it was the most awkward thing ever because everyone knew.
Yeah.
They were like, dude, especially because you know how your hair looks when it burns. Like, you could tell. You could tell when you burn some hair off. They're like, yeah, that burnt off.
Yeah.
That was a rough fucking day.
Is that high school, you said?
That was high school. Yeah. Junior year of high school.
Mentally, that could mess you up in those years.
Oh, yeah. But it, like I said, I loved it because I don't know what it was. I like working under pressure, but that's different when it's just the thrill of like, because you don't know when you're in high school, especially in Iowa, like you don't know what happened. If you're like, if I get caught, honestly, in high school, I don't know what my teacher's going to do.
Right.
By that time, all the high schools had the police officers because I know they kind of started transitioning to that.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm probably getting arrested. Like that, but
yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? If I don't have it on me, what are they going to do?
I never got caught like that at
yeah.
school.
Dude, we had to shoot.
My brother did.
Oh, dude, I can't imagine getting caught at school.
We'll ask him that story one day.
Yeah, we'll call him and have him tell it. Okay. But it was crazy too, because we had the drug dogs come every once in a while, and you'd be like, "Fuck, do I have weed in the car? Do I have weed in the car? Do I have weed in the car?" Because we used to just smoke in the whips, because that's all you could do. Cruise to school, smoke. Get through high school, smoke.
Is it jail time out there for that? If you have possession?
No, when I got arrested for possession, and it was just a fucking process.
Gotcha.
But if you have a certain amount, they're gonna get you, and they're gonna always try to get you for distribution. And then they're going to try to fucking find
selling
out
this gram.
Who got you this?
Nickel.
Where'd you get this
gram
from? You know, yeah. Hey, we won't give you any charges if you just tell. I have another story. This is just a quick one. I got pulled over going hella fast. And at this time I'd already got arrested. So my record was already tarnished with it. And cops in Iowa, when they see that, they're like, oh, let's get him again.
Yeah.
Let's get him again. So I got pulled over. And it was like, I was super stressed out. It was like the end of high school, about to go to college. And the cop was super chill at start. He was like, you're going 50 and a 30. And I was like, whoa, my bad. I told him what was up. Like, I was just like having a rough time. I think my girlfriend at the time was going to a different college, some bullshit. And I was super upset. So he goes back. He comes back. He's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to give you a warning, man. Just fucking slow down. And then he's like halfway back to his car and he goes,
fuck you.
What's this charge? Basically, he was like, what's this charge on your record? And I was like, well, blah, blah, blah. I told him what happened. He's like, you know what? Like, I'm going to have to ask to search your car. And he kept like pressuring me. It was the weirdest thing. He's like, you don't have to say yes. Just no, you don't have to say yes. But it was like, I know. I was like, listen, man. Like, I literally said this to him. I was like, listen, man, I know you're just going to bring the dogs. And the dogs are going to smell something because they always do, even though there's nothing in here that
right.
I'll just sign consent. And he goes, you don't have to. So anyway, he comes, or his sergeant comes, because they have to sit there. There has to be two cops present. And he begins the search. And I start talking with the sergeant just because I know, I'm like, this is fucking bullshit. But as I'm talking, I remember I have 2 12-packs of Bud Ice in my trunk.
Oh, shit, as a minor.
At this time, I was only 18, so... I like quickly thought game time decision, and I was like, oh, it's my sister's car. Like, she just went back to college, so I'm just driving it for the day before I leave. And then, like, the cop found a bunch of Axe body spraying the thing, and he was like, oh, you got the fun box. And he's like, because he was like, oh, he smokes weed. And I was like, nah, I just smoke cigs, you know, don't want my parents to smell. That was another thing. He was like, it was 6 days after my 18th birthday. He was like, started smoking cigarettes 6 days ago. I just looked at him and go, yep.
Right away. It's my right.
But anyway, he ended up finding the beer, and I told the sergeant that story. So when he found it, I was like, oh, like, I don't know. That must have been my sister. It was hot as shit. The beer was hot as shit.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, all right, man, I believe you. Just slow down.
Open and chug it
they
in?
Took him, and I guarantee they fucking, he just put
Check
him in
later.
The fridge. Yeah. But anyway, that's a Midwest cop story, and I have a bunch. So. We'll talk about.
We'll get more of those.
Yeah, I have a bunch. They're funny. I have some funny ones, some bullshit ones, but that one's pretty good. That was like, that was the first experience after my arrest, and it was fucked. It's all fucked. It's all fucked. But yeah, with that, we're gonna go.
That's a great episode 9.
Yeah, episode 9. Next week, episode 10. Something's gonna happen.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, 1-0. We're about to go to double digits. Double fucking digits, 1-0. And then we start the trek to 100. And eventually we may do this twice a week.
Eventually.
Yeah. But for now, once a week. Yeah, we're definitely going to try to do one outside the studio, and then we'll have our new studio soon. But we'll be back here, same time, same place next week, getting higher. So get higher with us.
Getting high?
Getting high.
Lakers won.
Lakers won. Shout out Jorge Masvidal. Shout out Andy Ruiz.
Thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out Mr. Savages, man. Fucking legend, man. You were dope. And yeah, Chef Zoe. Yeah.
The boxers, Anthony and Maeda.
Yep. Yeah, man. I think the conclusion to this episode is we're thankful. We're happy. We got cool stuff coming out. And yeah, just thank you to everyone that's been a part of it, whether you're the viewer or the guests that we've been having. But we're going to keep it going, and we're going to fucking – the momentum's not stopping. It's just going to keep going faster. So stay tuned. We got cool shit coming, as always. But, yeah, I'll catch you all later. Peace.
Peace.